Good morning, everybody. Whether you are here physically in the church with us or joining us via Zoom, it's good to have you with us for worship this morning. And our worship this morning is led by the locally resourced worship team that are all sat behind me. I don't think they need any introduction. As far as I'm aware, there are no other special notices. They're just a reminder of all the normal restrictions, which I think you're all aware of without the need for me to detail them. So I'll do no more than hand straight over to those leading worship today. Thank you.
A call to worship. How good it is to give thanks to you, O Lord.
To sing in your honour, O Most High God.
To proclaim your love every morning.
And your faithfulness every night.
With the music of stringed instruments.
And with melody on the harp.
Your mighty deeds, O Lord, make me glad.
Because of what you have done, I sing for joy.
Our first song is My Jesus, My Saviour. Prayer of praise. Let us pray. We praise you, God,
for the mystery of life, for the abundance of your creation, and for the way you are constantly renewing it, for seed time and harvest, summer and winter, birth and death, beauty and vitality. We praise you for the mystery of our own lives, for the gifts and graces you have given us, for the ways you have made us grow and flourish. We thank you, each of us, for the stage of life we are at now, and we praise you that you renew your life beyond, renew our life beyond the grave. We praise you for the mystery of the life of Jesus, for his goodness and power. Thank you that he gave up his life willingly for us, like a seed that is buried in the earth. Thank you that death could not hold him, and that he lives here and now in our lives and in the life of your church. You have made us glad, God. We lift our hearts to you. You gladden our lives, O Most High, our Rock. Amen. The reading is from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26.
Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seed is sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the head, and finally the head full of grain. When the grain is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle, because the harvest time has come."
"What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" asked Jesus. "What parable shall we use to explain it?" "It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade."
Jesus preached his message to the people using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables, but when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. Into the first verse of "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy."
Good morning, and welcome to Gardener's Question Time here at Kingsthorpe Baptist Church, Northampton. Our programme today is all about how to grow that most elusive but powerful of plants, the kingdom of God. It can be found all over the world, but is unique in one special way. Every Kingdom of God plant looks and smells and grows differently from every other Kingdom of God plant. But when you study them carefully, it's clear that all these plants belong to the same family, the family of God. Hopefully, after today's programme, you will feel more confident to grow and look after your own Kingdom of God plant. So, can we have our first question, please?
Hello, Pam. Our first question is, how do you start to grow the Kingdom of God? How do you start to grow the Kingdom of God?
Well, thank you, Paul. I wonder which of our panel of Kingdom of God experts would like to have a go at this question. How do you start to grow the Kingdom of God? Catherine, would you like to start?
Well, the Kingdom of God, like many plants, starts from a seed. Now, don't be dismayed when you see the size of some of these seeds. They can be incredibly tiny. And I believe you have some examples in the packet you were given when you entered. Have a good look at just one seed. And it's very difficult to get hold of just one seed. They are so tiny. Now, some have said that they've grown the Kingdom of God from a seed as small as a mustard seed. And we all know that can grow into a tree over 6 metres high. You see, the seed of the Kingdom of God can be just a word, just a touch, just a prayer, just a moment of beauty. And that's enough to contain the Spirit of God. And the miracle is that amazing growth can come from next to nothing. Size really doesn't matter.
Yes, it's amazing what can be made from something so small. When we're trying to grow the Kingdom of God, think what encouragement that is for the children among us, or for those of us who think we're unimportant. We don't matter in the eyes of the world. Or for those of us who don't feel we have much in us that God can use. Or for small congregations. Or for that new initiative we're trying to start. The Kingdom of God can grow, however small the Spirit-filled seed that starts it off. Of course, the important thing is to make sure we actually scatter the seeds of the Kingdom of God. And that's a job for each one of us. We can all speak of Jesus. We can all show God's love in thousands of ways. We can all pray for others. We can all use our gifts to serve God. All of us. No exception.
This is an old story, but it reminds us of the surprises we...
Well, thank you all. I'll just pick up on Marilyn's last point with an old story, which shows what can happen when you start with something very, very small. In this case, just one grain of wheat.
This is an old story, but it reminds us of the surprises we can get when even a small number like 2 is multiplied by itself many times. King Shriram of India was so pleased when his grand vizier Sissa Bendar presented him with a game of chess that he asked Bendar to name his own reward. The request was so modest that the happy king immediately complied. What the grand vizier had asked was this, that one grain of wheat be placed on the first square of the chessboard, 2 grains on the second square, 4 on the third, 8 on the fourth, 16 on the fifth square, and so on, doubling the amount of wheat on each succeeding square until all 64 squares were accounted for. When the king's steward had gotten to the 17th square, the table was well filled. By the 26th square, the chamber held considerable wheat. and a nervous king ordered the steward to speed up the count. When 42 squares were accounted for, the palace itself was swamped. Not fit to be tied, King Shahram learns from the court mathematician that had the process continued, the wheat required would have covered all India to a depth of over 50 feet. Incidentally, laying this many grains of wheat end to end also does something rather spectacular. They would stretch from the earth beyond the sun, past the orbits of the planets, far out across the galaxy to the star Alpha Centauri, 4 light years away. They would then stretch back to Earth, back to Alpha Centauri, and back to the Earth again.
So the number of grains of wheat on the last square is 2, multiplied by itself 64 times, which is, would anyone like to read that number? I believe it says 18 quintillion, 446 quadrillion, 744 trillion, 74 billion, 709,551,600 516. I could be making that all up, but that's what I'm assured it says. Now, there are millions, probably billions, of people in the world who don't know about Jesus. If we were like those grains of wheat, it wouldn't take long before everyone knew about him. The Methodist Church, over the last couple of years, has challenged us to share our story of faith with others, intentionally using opportunities which naturally arise. Think of all those events which take place involving Christians and non-Christians. Things like the church walking group, the badminton club, Friday lunches. And think of all the times when you as individuals are in the company of non-Christians. Not to ram it down people's throats, but there are so many opportunities for us to share our stories and so the kingdom of God. Imagine if we all did that. Here's one person. Imagine if year one, they told just one other person about Jesus. Some easy maths. How many would know about Jesus? 2, yes, obviously. And in year 2, if both of those told just one other person about Jesus, there would then be 4. And in year 3, those 4 people told one another about Jesus, there'd then be 8. And so it would go. In year 4, we'd have 16 people knowing. In year 5, 32. In year 6, 64. In year 7, 128. In year 8, 256. In year 9, 512. And after 10 years, 1,024 people will know about Jesus. And that began with one person telling one other about Jesus every year. We can do that. Doesn't matter how big or small, how old or young we are, we've all got our stories of Jesus to tell, and that will help the kingdom of God to grow. Do we do that? Do we tell our Jesus story to others? Will we? We listen again to the second verse of "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy." Could we have our second question for the panel, please?
Yes, my question is, I planted my Kingdom of God seed some time ago, but it doesn't seem to be growing at all well. In fact, at times I wonder if it's dying. What can I do to resurrect it?
Well, this is quite a common problem. And it's usually based on a misunderstanding. So, how do we grow the Kingdom of God? According to the Master Gardener's Manual, usually called the Bible, all we have to do is scatter the seeds and leave them. The Bible actually says a man, or of course a woman, scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he doesn't know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plant grow and bear fruit. Now, that's true up to a point. But implied in that is that the right conditions are provided to allow the seed to grow into a plant. The field must be prepared, for example. We've all seen, haven't we, what happens to the seed which falls on the path or on rocky ground or among weeds and thorns. Most plants only need air, water, warmth, light, and nutrients to grow. But the Kingdom of God is a little different from other plants. Let's go back to our panel of experts to pass on their wisdom of many years of growing the Kingdom of God in their lives. They'll share with you what they have found to be the right conditions to enable the Kingdom of God to grow in ourselves, in our church, in our community. Marilyn, would you like to start?
Well, I think without a doubt that without daily watering of God's word, the Kingdom of God will never grow. But the watering has to be done right. For some, they get sufficient living water by reading the Bible a little each day. Some even read through it from beginning to end, although they do have some dry spells when reading certainly challenging. Others find the water of God's word needs mixing with study notes or books to help them understand better its meaning. And still others prefer their watering to take place alongside others so they can discuss and learn together how God's word is challenging them. Both our churches have Bible study groups attended by people from both churches. If you would like to support accessing the living water to help the Kingdom of God grow in you, why not join one of them?
Yes, the living water of God's word is vital for the Kingdom of God to grow, as is prayer. The light of prayer helps us to turn and grow towards the light of the world, Jesus. There are so many different kinds of light, natural and man-made, bright and dim, as there are so many different kinds of prayer. But they all help the kingdom of God to grow in us and in those for whom we pray. Perhaps you prefer to pray alone, but if your prayer life is a bit dim and needs lighting up, both of our churches have set up prayer groups, which may help the kingdom of God to grow in your life.
And don't forget the importance of warmth when growing the kingdom of God. The warmth of a welcoming, accepting, loving church family, which opens its arms to all people, whatever their age, gender, race, or sexual orientation, whatever they say or do, whatever their state of grace. This warmth is God's love. Without it, the kingdom of God can never grow. And some plants come to us in a really bad state. They especially need tender love and care to help them grow. Every day we need to ask ourselves, how can I show God's love to others today? And every day act on the answer. Then we'll see the kingdom of God grow in ourselves and in others.
Of course, there are those times when the kingdom of God's seed just doesn't seem to grow, whatever we do or don't do. But remember flowers in the desert. The seeds often lie dormant for 100 years, waiting for the next shower of rain to enable them to germinate. We will never know that those seeds have grown. And with the kingdom of God seeds, perhaps sown in childhood or with people who have moved on, we may have no idea if the kingdom of God ever grows in them. As many of you know, I work as a counsellor, and I see many clients who are at a stage in their lives where they aren't happy with how they feel or how they think or how they behave. And we may meet together for just a few sessions or over a period of months or even a year. And at the end of our time together, normally there's been an improvement in their life and we finish seeing each other. Now, most of the time, I never know whether my client has continued on the more positive path that they may have moved themselves onto, or whether life has thrown them something else that means that their thoughts, feelings, or what they do are once again at odds with how they want to be. And it's like that with the kingdom of God. We may never know what seeds we have sown, but God will. Our job is to provide the right conditions for growth when we can. Then leave it to God and trust him.
I think we ought to pass on a couple of warnings, though. The Bible makes clear that too much attention can be counterproductive. With other plants, if you keep digging them up to see what's happening or messing about with them, they die. In the same way, if the kingdom of God is getting the right conditions for growth, then leave it to God, the master gardener. Don't be too dogmatic or interfering. Especially, it is easy to destroy fragile or new members of the kingdom of God. There are many different plants in God's garden. Don't try and make them all the same.
And yet another warning. It's all too easy to prevent or retard the growth of the kingdom of God. For example, it's very easy to become complacent in our Christian lives. Or we bumble along and we either don't think much about the growth of the kingdom of God within us or are satisfied with where we are. Yet it's almost certain God is demanding more growth. And here at Kingsthorpe Baptist, God has demanded more of us during the pandemic to be able to deliver services online via Zoom. And it's also meant that we haven't had our normal provision of a preacher up here, taking the service week after week. So from within our congregations, Different people have stepped up and contributed in different ways to enable our worship to still happen so we may experience a time of fellowship amongst each other. Now, I was definitely challenged, and still am, when I was asked last year to lead our prayers of intercession, not something I'd ever done before. And for me, it feels like quite a responsibility to pray on behalf of everyone. But with God's help and my own personal prayers, I'm managing to grow my personal faith and have been encouraged by positive comments from others. And the kingdom of God is no different. If we are too fearful, too unwilling, too unsure to take the next step which God wants, the kingdom of God cannot grow in us and will ultimately die.
You are right, and not just on a personal level. The Methodist circuit in Northampton recognises that we cannot stay as we are, so we are reimagining the circuit to enable us to focus on growing the kingdom of God. There is no doubt some church buildings will close, which is causing much angst and grief. But with God's guidance, we are praying for the reimagining process to become a resurrection, with a new life of the kingdom of God growing and flourishing across the circuit. We don't know what it will look like yet, but we believe that God will help us to plant and nurture this new seed of the kingdom.
I do hope that answers your question, Sheila. A final thought. We are called to be kingdom growers, not kingdom builders. That's God's job. So we listen to verse 3 of The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. We have time for just one more question.
Hello. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate you on your reading of your long number. I think I would have just said an awful lot. As I'm not a gardener at all and really not a lot of interest, although I do have raspberries in my garden, I would like to ask, how do I know when the kingdom of God is ready to harvest?
Thank you very much. Well, that is one of the most challenging questions of all. It's easy with other plants. We are told when the corn is ripe, the man or woman starts cutting it with his sickle because harvest time has come. But with the kingdom of God, it's not so obvious. What I do know is the kingdom of God cannot be forced, but it will ripen at exactly the right time. Our job is to make sure we are ready to get out there and gather it in at that time. So we need to be always watching the growth of the kingdom and making sure we keep those conditions for growth active. And then, well, in my experience, we'll know. But it can take many years. Marilyn, would you like to add?
Of course. Some plants grow very slowly, especially if conditions are poor. There is a spruce in the Arctic which grew only 11 inches in 98 years. As far as the kingdom of God is concerned, Think of Nelson Mandela. He spent his youth fighting to end apartheid in South Africa. Then had 28 years of forced inactivity in prison. After his release, he became the first democratically elected state president of South Africa and worked amazingly for forgiveness and reconciliation between black and white for the rest of his life. The harvest was huge, but took many, many years to ripen. It is a pattern of sowing, feeding, waiting, and reaping. We need to be patient and alert during the waiting time and not get discouraged. God's time is not our time.
And it's important too to not get obsessed by results. We're not taking part in the Chelsea Flower Show as we harvest the kingdom of God. There are no gold medals just for winners. Instead, our reward is to hear the words of our Master, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
One final thing about the harvest of the kingdom of God. It is not restricted by human imagination. If we remain faithful, it has limitless potential. Within one seed lies the potential for a forest. Remember the story we heard earlier about the wheat and the chessboard? We are humans becoming more than we are human beings. Works in progress, just like the kingdom of God.
I think we'd all agree that to bring the kingdom of God to harvest, what is needed throughout is the fertilizer of faith. So to help you with your own cultivation of the kingdom of God, Gardener's Question Time has provided everyone here today with a bag of seeds and a faith template to take home. And when you're at home, you could perhaps cut out the letters of faith to create the template. Place your faith template on a seed tray of soil or on a damp paper towel and sprinkle your seeds to cover the template letters. Remove the template and water regularly. And hopefully your faith will grow and help with the growth of the kingdom of God. And those of you participating at home, if you want to take part, just email one of us on the Gardener's Question Time team and we'll send you the template. You can get your seeds from me or buy a packet of mustard and cress. And so, we end this edition of Gardener's Question Time. I hope you all feel now more confident about how to grow the kingdom of God in your life, your church, and your community. And remember, there's a lot of good advice available. You only have to ask the Master Gardener or any of his followers or read his manual. So we listen to the final verse of "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy."
Now we come to our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your ongoing love for us. Like trees stretching up to the sun, We want to grow upwards towards you. We bring the people of your world before you and pray for those who do not find their security in you. We ask that the gifts of your creation will be spread more fairly, and that those who have nothing might receive enough to start them off. We pray for those who waste wealth, that they will see their mistakes. And we pray for all people who mourn, especially the family of Bob Baker, who sadly passed away last week. We pray that your people will hear your word, and that understanding it, they may grow ever closer to you. Amen. And now we say together the prayer our Father taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now we have our last hymn, which is Colours of Day.
Closing prayer, I invite you to pick out one seed, if you can, from your packet and look at it as we say, as we share in our final prayer. Just a tiny seed, Lord, but with such a hope of life, energy, and possibility crammed into a tiny shell, waiting for warmth and moisture to unlock all its potential. God, our Creator, bestower of our life, giver of our gifts, plant us in the warm earth of your love. Shower us with grace, so that we are awake to the possibilities of change and alive to our potential to work for your kingdom. Amen. We share the grace with each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hello everyone.
Hello, sorry, everybody. We're off the screen now, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Does anybody know how many actually went into church today?
No.
Because looking at the screen, it didn't look that, as if there was many at all.
No, I don't know. Yes, I felt the same as well. But whether everybody was at the back.
Yeah, it was just here, wasn't it?
I think people are still, you know, they're still feeling the need to be careful and cautious, really. And it takes different. That takes different forms. So for some people, you know, that real church service is maybe just a step too far for them yet.
On the flip side of that, I also think people want normality in church. They feel that they can't actually fully worship in the service. And they have more freedom if they stay on Zoom.
Yes. Yes, we've been singing away, haven't we?
Like, you can't sing in church. So, you know, and that takes away something to me because of being a singer and a musician, you know.
Yeah. But it was a lovely service. I really enjoyed it.
It worked really well. I thought it was very good.
The idea of Gardner's Question Time was a really good...
Clever format, really, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And the way they incorporated Zoom and the set of people in church together, I thought.
It linked the two. No, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, 20 people in church today. The
Sorry, did you say
20?
Yeah,
20.
Oh, okay. There was 20 people in church.
Wow.
Sorry, I've got two volumes going. We've got Adrian on one.
I've got to go. I think the red arrows are coming over at 11:53.
Oh, what, over this, over here? Or?
Over in Northampton, it's 11:53.
Okay.
I think.
Online.
God bless, friend Helen.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye,
everyone. Bye. 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 Just going, Adrian. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. I love you.
Love you too. Bye. 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 Bye-bye, Fred. Bye.
Bye, Stephanie. Bye. Bye, Adrian.
Bye, Titus.
Goodbye to everyone. Bye-bye. Have a nice weekend.
And you. We will. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
He's actually
missing.
I wonder how old Bob Baker was. Probably not the same age as me. Well, I have that because I'm not very old.